Okay, we back?
Yes.
Yeah, good. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, Lisa. Go ahead.
Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah, so it's we call it C Squared S Squared Climate Change Student Summit, and two workshops at each of the sites for teachers, and then the teachers bring students to the summit. We have scientists at each of the sites for each of the workshops, and then a group of scientists at the summit to informally interact with the students. So we've had great success with this over the past 4 years, and this will be the last year of the grant. And we have several sites that have been wanting to do it and kept putting it off and putting it off till the last year. So now I may have
that
sites look like they're coming together. So we'll
so
see
what are the workshops themselves, and how is that separate? What constitutes what is in a workshop and what is in a summit?
The workshops are for teachers. So workshop one introduces them to climate change. A scientist comes and talks to them, and we use our Antarctica's Climate Secrets materials, the original Flexibit materials with that workshop. So it's hands-on activities, a scientist talking, building teacher background knowledge about climate change. And then we invite them to come. We tell them about workshop two and invite them to come to workshop two. When they come to workshop two, they're making a commitment to bring students to the summit. So it's usually a smaller group at the second workshop. We try to have about 20 at the second workshop, depending on the site. It could be anywhere from 10 to 20 teachers. And then they bring students, and we can have as many as 100 students at the summit. So depending on how many, if there's 10 teachers, they can bring 10 students. If there's 20 teachers, they bring about 4 students each.
I guess I'm still, so with the first one, how many do you have at the first workshop?
As many as we can get. We've had as many as 75 at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago.
Oh, I see. And then how far apart are the first workshop and the second workshop?
It depends on the site, but I'd like to have them about a month to 6 weeks between the two workshops to give them time to go back.
And this is a one-day thing?
It's a half day for the first workshop and a full day for the second workshop. And then they're connected. The teachers are connected to each other in a group hub, so we have a lot of activity within that group hub as they're getting their students ready to come to the summit. So they teach the kids about climate change using the materials that they got at the two workshops. They've built their background knowledge both through the presentations of the activities but also through presentations of scientists at the workshop. And then they get their students ready to come to the summit, and the students bring a research project to the summit that they share. The scientists give them feedback on their research projects. There's some activities that take place at the summit, and then all of the sites are connected in a video conference. So this year, if we have 10 sites, we'll have two different summit dates because it loses its effectiveness if we get over about 4 to 5 sites. How do you
handle having so many, doing a video conference with so many people at each place?
I have good people on the ground. We have some activities during the summit that keep the kids engaged with the video conference itself. The video conference lasts about an hour and 15 minutes. We have scientists at each site. We have a facilitator that's facilitating what's happening at each site. And then on the video conference, we have it structured so that we have a panel of students at each site that respond to questions. And then we have what we call polling questions, where if they have clickers, they can respond with a clicker. If they don't have that technology, they respond with a red card or green card. Mm-hmm. And we count up those answers, and we post them on a visual of hands around the world. And so we do some activities during the summit that keep the kids engaged for that hour, even if they're not on the panel. And then on the screen, you've got a picture of all of the different sites. And it's very active. It goes very quickly. And
is the whole summit an hour and 15 minutes or just the video conference?
Video conference. The summit's a half day. So the kids are on site for a half day doing, interacting with the scientists, sharing their research, getting feedback from the scientists.
Is this like a poster session kind of thing, or is there presentations?
The kids can pick, and we encourage them to present their research in any way that they want. So we try to hit a lot of different modalities. So the students have, we have some PowerPoint presentations, some poster science fair type presentations, and also some creative presentations like skits and radio programs that they, you know, where they're doing a skit being a weather reports or climate reports or reports from Antarctica. We've had all kinds of different things. We even had one young man who plays for the Chicago Symphony wrote a song for his that he played on his violin. He composed a violin piece that he played while his group did a PowerPoint presentation of slides behind him, and that was pretty powerful. So there's they can choose the way they want to do it, and then the scientists, I work with the scientists ahead of time to get them to give what I call hamburger feedback. So they give the buns are two positive comments, and then the center part of the hamburger is a they can be constructive feedback or suggestions or questions that they still have after hearing the presentation. So just trying to make it a real positive experience for the kids and their relationship with the scientist, and that's always been just
are they, what age group are these kids?
Well, we aim at middle school. Our materials are written for middle school, but we've had teachers as young as fourth grade. And then last year we had a huge bunch of high school teachers in two sites, and even AP environmental kids were there. So we had to kind of, it made interest, you know, we kind of split some of the presentations so that the AP kids were presenting to the high school kids and middle school kids were presenting to middle school kids, and then they had some cross-sharing. So, you know, trying to make it work for all of those different levels was some creative scheduling.
Yeah. So if you have 100 people at each of these and you're going to have 10 groups, so you're going to be, like, dealing with 1,000 people?
On the site, you mean? You mean at during the video conference?
Yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah. Well, I mean overall.
Yeah, well, we have... If we end up with 10 sites, yeah, it'll be about 1,000 people.
Okay.
Maybe more, because it's more like 150 at each site.
Yeah.
Right.
If we have parents that stay, and then you've got the 20 teachers and things like that. So, yeah, it ends up being a lot of people, and but that's why I'm splitting it into two summits. One of the summits will be March 3rd, and one will be April 28th. So at least there'll be some time between the two for me to... You know,
well, this is not for almost a year.
You're right, but right now we're gearing up for the workshops, which will be in the fall.
Okay.
After this fall.
I see. So the whole program kind of runs over the course of an academic year, and there's just pieces at different times.
Right. Right. So, and our you know, we have a lot of different partners in this, like in Chicago, the Museum of Science and Industry is our huge partner. They've just been an amazing partner. But we also work with universities and museums at all of these different sites, depending.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a facilitator at each site, at least one facilitator, depending on how big the site is. Chicago has two facilitators because they tend to bring in a lot of teachers. But we have facilitators that are usually teachers that have been involved with Anduril in some way, either as an ARISE teacher who's gone on the immersion experience, or in California this year, my facilitator is Peggy Lubchenco, Jane Lubchenco's sister. So Peggy's going to be a facilitator, and you know, so just really good educators that have popped up in one way or another that, you know, that are really good. And then I've spent a lot of time over the past year visiting the sites and working with the teachers and the people, the venues and all of that. So that's been what my job has been pretty much over the last couple of years.
Who is the funder of this?
Noah.
It is Noah.
Noah?
Yeah. It's one of their environmental literacy grants.
Right.
We got it. Yeah, this is our fourth year, so.
Great. Well, sounds wonderful.
Third year of the grant, we had a pilot year that we funded the first year as our proof of concept kind of thing. Yeah, it is great. We have, you know, great evaluations. The teachers, the parents, the kids all have a really good time. But I'll tell you what, the details are it's incredible trying to keep a finger on all these details across the country. And
I can appreciate that.
Oh, I get a little crazy occasionally.
Just occasionally, huh? Well, that's doing good.
Louise, are you thinking about how this might continue past the grant thing? Is it something that could be passed over to, like, a nonprofit or something that might actually want to do these? Have you thought about that?
You know, I've thought about it. That's a great idea. I hadn't thought of, passing it on to a nonprofit. Got any ideas?
Well, the Will Steiner Foundation is certainly doing similar work, too.
Well, another thing, I mean, the model might be really interesting to think about in terms of our proposal for the CSEP-2s.
Yes.
So
yes,
might something interesting to think about.
Maybe that's a way to go.
Yeah. Well, and we've worked, you know, really hard to come up with, the framework was part of this grant that we worked on to come up with an Earth Systems framework for teaching climate change, and then the new materials are coming online now. We've done a field test and revision, a year of revision. So those are slowly but surely coming up. We've got one finalized activity online right now, and the rest, we've got 14 activities, so they're all in some stage of revision right now. So that's my next step. After I finally get all the dates and ink on the calendar from all these sites, then getting the materials done is the next step. So one of the things that I've thought about is what we've done really well is taken this on the road. And it is something that can be done. You know, I think the model that we've done has worked really well. Finding the right people is key to that. But, I think we do have a model that works and could easily go on the road. And that's one of the things we've thought about in some future grants that kind of roll on the back of our heads, but haven't found the right funding yet. So,
yeah.
But it's something.
What level of funding did this require? I mean, what kind of funding level did you have for this?
We had our grant was about $750,000, and it was over the course of 3 years. We haven't used it all, so what I'm thinking we might do is ask for a year extension because I think we would have enough to do one more year.
You've been very efficient.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, so I do think we could do, three or four sites next year and be able to, we have stipends for teachers and stipends for facilitators, but we haven't, even though I've traveled quite a bit, we haven't used the travel allowance that was put in. So, and part of that, again, I think, is finding key people. I've got some really good people on the ground in these places, and that's been very helpful.
And that includes your salary as coordinator?
Sure.
Yes.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering is whether this couldn't become something like the Westinghouse or Siemens or those sorts of events.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
If you could find the right corporate sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a challenge.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Okay, well, good luck with getting that all organized.
Yeah, thanks.
Wait.
Who else came on the phone?
It's Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Here, Doug Cohen.
Oh, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Laura Tenenbaum.
Hello.
Britt Argo.
Hi, Britt. Laura.
Hi.
Okay, well, Louise was just telling us about this last year of her grant for the Climate Change Student Summits. Does anybody else have other announcements or things they want to make people aware of? Well, I will be sending an email probably this week to the Climate Literacy Network list, inviting people to submit abstracts for the AGU meeting to our set of seven. We have seven sessions on climate literacy. And then there'll also be an abstract deadline for a GSA, which is July 26th. AGU's abstract deadline is August 4th. And GSA's abstract deadline is July 26th. And they have, it's kind of interesting, they don't have very many that are explicitly or exclusively focused on climate change, but a lot on earth science literacy, earth system science. So be submitting some abstracts there also.
Yeah, should work.
Okay, are there anything else that people would like to discuss?
I was just going to ask Laura, is there anything new coming up on the website? Any new things coming out?
Well, I mean, there's always, you know, every week there's new articles and, we're working on kind of a PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. I'm writing another little slideshow movie. And the newsletter should be coming out, I think, today. I think I sent around an email to everybody, you know, saying to sign up to the second newsletter, so we're going to have a monthly newsletter. But we may do another interactive before the end of the year. Just, you know, nothing groundbreaking, though, I think. I mean,
doing solid work.
Yeah, just, you know, keeping going on.
Yeah.
The big groundbreaking stuff that I'm working on is I'm fighting with everybody over it. It's all in stall mode while I fight. So if you sense my voice is a little bit just burned out from all of it. But, yeah, you know, I mean, trying to make big changes is hard. You guys know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening. I know I haven't been on the call in such a long time, but it's good to hear your guys' voices.
Yeah.
I guess there's going to be another review camp, I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a review camp for the Clean Collection is at the beginning of August, August 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and then a whole lot of resources that have been in the queue for quite a while. We'll go through that, and then the cataloging process, we can probably tell people at that point if things are accepted, but the cataloging process and the final expert science review still have to take place. So our target date for getting everything there is the beginning of November.
Well, what might be good is, like, we could do a blast, like, a you know, make a little piece on it, send some emails around, do some tweeting, you know, because we're linking to your site from our educator button. So
right.
When it does go live, we should kind of make some.
Okay.
Some
well, this is it's already live. It's just things will be added to the collection.
No, when the latest version, I mean.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. No, I refer to it all the time and you know, recommend. In fact, I gave a presentation to a bunch of people the other day and took them there, kind of right near the beginning, to say, look, you know, this
great.
Is where to find stuff. Yeah. No, it's super useful. But yeah, if the, you know, when anything. When the latest version goes live, we should definitely blast a fanfare about it all around.
Tamara, I'm trying to remember how many we're expecting to add by November. Is it 200, or it might even be more than that?
I actually don't know the numbers. I know that we're going to be going through about 450,
yes.
But it's different than last year. Last year were all activities. This year we have activities, but then we have a large group of what we fondly call useful bits. These are videos, interactives, visualizations, demonstrations that don't have the same pedagogical scaffolding as an activity, but it's something that both secondary teachers and college educators have been asking for, to find things that they can fit into things that they already teach. So those are, by their very nature, easier take less time to review, so we're doing more of those. So
no, I agree. It's super. It's going to be super useful.
Yeah.
Right. And then, and just in looking down the line further, the third category of stuff that we will develop a review criteria for, and we're starting to think about it, but this won't really happen until next year, is the review criteria for courses and curriculum, things that are larger than an activity, and as a result take much more time to review. So we won't be putting quite as many of those into the collection in the year, but we will develop a robust review criteria. And what we're hoping to do then is that, unlike now, where, I mean, I know that some of you have submitted to us things to review, but most of the resources that we have been reviewing are ones that we find out there on the web already. What we're hoping to do, especially with these courses and curricula, is to have people submit them to us and review those in an iterative process, much like a peer-reviewed paper, so that the authors can improve it to address the concerns of the reviewers, and then to actually, you know, to put it up there through that kind of a process. So that's what we're aiming for, but that's going to happen in the third year.
Yeah.
And hopefully that model will be able to then take into a more sustainable mode down the line when our funding ends.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah, this is definitely becoming an even more comprehensive site.
Yes, it is. Okay, the other thing we're doing is we're going to the ESA Federation meeting next week, the Federation of Earth Science Information Partners, and I'm going to be presenting a workshop, the meeting has a workshop for teachers, and the focus is climate change, and I'm going to be doing a one-hour session on the Clean Portal. And but then one of our main activities through this is that this organization is mostly a technical scientific community, so we're going to be sitting there with a review station trying to get expert science reviews for the resources that are ready for that. I mean, that's the last step after the review camp. After the initial reviews, the review camp, it needs expert science review to be finally accepted into the collection, and that's we're going to be trying to seek those out in real time next week.
Good.
Awesome.
We need that.
Okay, any other questions, comments?
It's good to hear you guys' voice, that's all.
Yeah, well,
Tamara, this is Karen. I just have a quick technical question.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to be gone for a chunk of time, is there some way to temporarily get off of the listserv, or is it best just to stay on and keep hitting delete?
My perspective is it's easier from my end if you just stay on and hit delete. Because if you send me an email, I have to send it to Sarah, and then you have to remember to send me an email to add you back. And there's no automated way of doing that.
Okay. All right. Fine. Thanks.
Yeah, I've had somebody else ask to be temporarily taken off the list for a while. And it's possible to do, but it just requires manpower to do it. It's
okay.
A little bit hard.
That answers my question. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Well, we will have our call next week. I am going to be at the ESA Federation meeting. Maybe, Scott, I'll ask you, is it possible for you to facilitate the call next week?
I'm just checking. Yeah, it looks like it should be fine.
Okay, great.
Great, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, everybody, and we will talk again next week.
Thank
Very good.
You. Okay, bye.
Thanks,
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Good luck with everything.
Tamara, are you still on?